They call themselves the Bad Batch.
Session's back again, boy. My heart and blood all ran, boy. Clone Wars ain't enough, boy. So you're asking when, boy. Recapping every week, boy. Bad Batch is on your screen, boy. Made that Disney Plus debut. Made that back on Hot Brew. It's the Bad Batch.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the galaxy, and welcome to Star Wars Sessions. But today, we are doing the Bad Batch recap, the first one. Similar to our Mandalorian recaps, we're going to be looking at the Bad Batch, which dropped today on Disney+. It's May the 4th. Before that, my name is Matt Hudson. You may know me as Jabba the Hutt, and I'm joined, as per, by the greatest man to ever fit in Star Wars fandom, with a great haircut too. It's Luke Bly, Master Blywalker. How are you, sir?
I am very well, Matty boy. Happy May the 4th be with you. Are you good? Are you dandy on this fine day?
I am D Dan. I am very, very happy, mate. It's Star Wars Day. Everyone's happy. Everyone's celebrating. We've had a busy day and we've had a very busy day for listening in the future, but it's been so worth it. It's been such good fun. And the fact that we were getting a new animated show only made it better. But before that, how are you?
Oh, broski, I am loving life. I'm loving life. It's a busy day over in Sessions headquarters. You know, we've got a busy day lined up. But do you know what, mate? It feels good. Star Wars Day feels good. It feels really good this year. Obviously, we've had a load of other stuff come on Disney Plus, but we'll talk about that another time. If you're listening today, on May the 4th, we are doing a live stream later at 8 p.m. So come along, and that's British time. Come along, bring some beerios, and we'll have a chit-chat. It's going to be some good fun. Matty boy, Bad Batch, bruh.
Here we are, mate.
Okay. All right. Episode one of the Bad Batch, Aftermath.
Mm-hmm. Aftermath. Yeah. Wow. Spoilers going forward. We've got to say that now. This is a spoiler-heavy episode. We've seen the episode, obs, and we're assuming you have. If you haven't, tune out now, watch the episode, and come back and hear our thoughts. Otherwise, you'll find out everything that happens. So, yeah. Aftermath, big man.
Yeah. So, wow. What do you want to do? You want to go from the top? You want a quick review?
Let's say, what did you think of it then, mate? So you've seen it now. It's 70-something minutes long. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was very good. It is Clone Wars Season 8. It's not, but it is. And I think for a lot of people, that's going to work. I think that is just... It's kind of what we needed, I think, in the Star Wars animated world. I really liked the characters. I preferred the Bad Batch in this episode more than I did in Clone Wars Season 7, mm-hmm. right? I really liked this episode. I liked the world building. And it's just so interesting, Matty boy, to finally get a perspective on the clones, on now the Republic Empire in this time period. You know, we've not seen anything. Once Revenge of the Sith is finished, right? That's it. Yeah. We do a time jump. Apart from some, like, let's be honest, minor canon, and we'll get back to canon in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure that we're going to talk about that in a moment. I thought it was a very, very strong start to a series. Mm-hmm. What about you, mate?
Well, it is Clone Wars 8, really, isn't it? Because even the Clone Wars episode logo burns away series logo at the beginning to reveal the Bad Batch logo. We've seen that in marketing already, but just in case there are any issues or queries about that, they just showed it to you again. You know, the Clone Wars, that's done with now. It's now morphed into the Bad Batch.
You've even got our boy Tong Kaan doing the intro, right?
Exactly. Yeah, Tong Kaan. Hey, Separatist. I can't do that voice again. That's a lot of separatists. So what did I think about it? Up top, I thought this was pretty decent. I thought it was a good start. I wasn't immediately blown away because it felt to me like it didn't need to be 70 minutes long, but they did it so they could dump everything they needed to in this episode. And by that I mean, for those who haven't seen Clone Wars or anything like that, they need to find out, they need to reintroduce the Bad Batch, all of their capabilities, the world, the galaxy, state of the galaxy, where we're at right now, re-establish some locations we've been to before and the clones' history. So there's a lot of expository stuff going on. There was a lot of world building, which we have already seen before. It doesn't make it any less exciting, though. So I thought it was strong. I agree with you there. I thought it was strong. I thought it was solid. What it has done, though, is made me excited for what's to come now. Now that I know that all of this setup, for the most part, is out of the way, everything going forward is going to be pretty new. And I'm thinking about those trailers where they're on speeder bikes through like Coruscant. You've got Fennec Shand popping up and all that.
Oh, right.
It's going to get exciting, man. So to me, this was them just saying, right, let's establish where we are before we really push forward. But on a top level, though, dude, I thought it was very solid, and I'm excited.
And I think that's a good shout, kind of like starting from scratch, like just in case you've not seen Clone Wars, this is what's happening. And as the episode begins, you know, we still are in the Clone Wars, and that kind of takes us into probably our first big talking point of this episode. Dude. Because like you said, there's a lot in this that is, at the end of the day, it is a kid's show. And actually, I think this is going to be excellent as a kids show, but also for Star Wars nerds like us, canon junkies. And
well, it's rated 6+, which is something I was looking out for. Like, what's the rating? 6+, which is, you know, pretty standard. It's like PG almost.
And do you know what's funny, right? I watched this on the sofa in our main room, and my missus is actually doing some like crazy work today. And she moved from our desk to the sofa to sit with me and watch it while she's on the laptop, like on and off, kind of.
Nice.
She's just doing some basic like admin work at the moment. So she was having like a bit of a low point, right? And she's getting busy later. So she thought, you know what? I'll pay attention to it a little bit and then do a bit of work, you know? And she was like, man, that was better than I thought it was going to be. That was really good.
What a ledge.
Really good. Yeah, and I was like, that's funny, isn't it? That's funny how, like, out of all the animated stuff, because I have had Rebels on in the background, and she's like, oh, yeah, she kind of knows about it, not really interested.
Yeah.
I've had Resistance on in the background, and she has, because we are doing our Resistance rewatch at the moment.
We are still doing it.
Going through the sludge. No, I'm joking. I'm not.
we are slowly getting there. Very slowly.
She's looked at me before. She's going like, are you actually enjoying this? Like, she's confused as to why I'm watching Resistance. She's like confused about it. She's like, I don't get it. And I'm like, no, me neither, like, doll. But, you know. Here we go,
Sessions
love. Anyway, Bad Batch, completely different. Completely different. And she was even saying stuff like, so that's when this is set. This is set just after, like, she's getting it.
That's interesting,
Right? And this is someone who really just is not interested in Star Wars. She goes and sees it because of her sad husband. So, bro, I thought that was actually quite impressive, because this could have easily have been really messy.
Yeah. It was necessary exposition. I'm fully aware of that, but it obviously, having seen it before, some of it felt like, okay, I know what these guys can do. Let me at it. That's the geek in me. I want to see what happens next. But I've got loads of episodes to see what happens next. So just to reiterate, I did enjoy this episode.
Mate, legend. Right. Okay. So let's get stuck in.
Go on, mate. That first sequence was
flipping Kanan from Rebels.
Yeah.
Right? Caleb June. Now, I was actually going to do this before, but it's all a rush. It's the May the 4th madness. Does the scenes at the beginning of The Bad Batch, because we see, obviously, Caleb Dune, who is Kanan from Star Wars Rebels.
Yep.
We see him with his master.
Yep.
And they're actually going through Order 66.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's different to the comic book, isn't it?
Yes, it is different to the comic book. There, the idea that Depo Balaba, his master, tells him to run, you know, get out of here, run, save yourself. That is what happened. But in the comic, Kanan was more involved in the fight. He was trying to save her, but it eventually was basically told, just get out of here.
So is it on a different planet?
There is a change. It's on the same planet. It's on Kallan. Is it Kallan?
Written
down. Kallan, sorry.
That comic. I've got
it's
it.
It's on Kallan still.
Okay, that's not bad. But
little bits.
Are there many contradictions, or is it like possible? Do you think?
I think it's possible. Do you know what I mean? It's there was more of, to me, there was more of a battle in the comic. There was more like Kanan was actually fighting the clones, whereas here he isn't. He's with the Bad Batch, and he goes back to try and help, and he's told to go. So he's not involved in the ruckus in the Bad Batch, whereas in the comics he was. So, you know, it's little things like that where it doesn't really matter. They've kept the characters the same pretty much. They've kept the location the same. So it's just a little bit of, you know, we'll just change that a bit.
The droids, not the droids, the clones as well have different armor on.
Yeah.
It's small things like that. Like, why didn't they just make the clones the same? Do you know what I mean? Because the ones in the Bad Batch were like a green division. They had like green highlights on them, and then some like just shinies. But it's just small things like that. Like, why? Why would you make it different? But anyway, it's one of those things, my boy, that I always say, and I hate to say it, that a lot of the canon that is in comics and books will always be second place to live action when it's needed, right?
They do it sensitively. They don't change. Had they basically changed the entire thing, I think people would have been a bit like, well, you know, that's not great. But little things, I don't think there's a problem with that, man.
No, that's a good shout, bro. That's a good shout. And actually, as I've said on this show before, that comic series is actually one of my favorites, the Marvel Kanan show. And it's like years old now. But bro, no, I really liked that. And I thought Kanan was really good. It was great seeing his lightsaber too.
Yeah.
Apparently Kanan can jump.
Dude.
He can jump.
he's got some legs on him. He's got some, he can jump over a massive ravine. Which is, you know, they did that in Rebels. I think he did that in Rebels as well, didn't he? In Malachor or with Ezra. I'm sure they both did.
Is that his thing, maybe?
It must be his thing. That's, just like
maybe that's
power.
His... Yeah, he's obviously like a space galactic NBA player.
he's like a... What's it called? The high jump fellow, a long jump.
He loves a Duncan.
It was Freddie Prinze Jr. as well who did the voice. They've obviously changed it slightly to make it sound younger, but it was Freddie Prinze Jr.
No way.
Yeah,
I've
just been checking. I was meant to look before, but yeah, it was Freddie was the voice. Same as Mark Hamill in The Mandalorian. They just changed the pitch and tone of his voice. They've obviously done the same here.
That's impressive. Okay, really impressive. No, I like that. That's really cool. That
Order
really
66,
cool.
mates. We've got to see Order 66 again. It opens with Order 66. We get to see it from a different vantage point. Yeah. We now know that the Bad Batch, Clone Force 99, their modifications overruled the chip, so they didn't take part in Order 66. But you know, Crosshair, he's a good soldier and he just wants to follow orders. So even though he isn't apparently affected by the chip, he still realizes that, you know, we've been given an order and that's what we were bred for, following orders.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good soldiers. Good soldiers follow orders. It's a very good take on one of the most important moments in the whole Star Wars story. And I actually think it was very, very well handled in this episode. Even everything with Palpatine, the way Palpatine really does feel like a Phantom Menace in this series, because, you know, to these clones, Palpatine is this huge figure, right? He isn't, it's not really a personal issue like it is in the Skywalker saga, right?
Yep.
And I liked that. I really, really liked that. It's so much so that it's like seeing a famous person on TV, right? That was kind of the analogy in my head that I was thinking of while watching it. Thought, again, it was very cool. And obviously, our boy Sniperhead, you know,
Crosshair.
Yeah, we call him Sniperhead round here. Just like, who's Hunter, mate? Rambo,
innit? Rambo, Data,
Meathead.
And Big Boy.
Meathead.
That's it.
Data.
That's it. That's it. Cementhead, Data, Sniperhead, and a Rambo.
So, do it. You know what, right? I'll be honest with you. Cementhead, big
wasn't
boy.
Was annoying?
He was really good in this episode.
Oh, no. He keeps getting shot.
He keeps getting shot because he's a beefcake, isn't he? He's a mile wide. You know, he's a Ben Solo.
Got less brains, but more brawn.
More
he's
swole.
Got shot twice. He's got more swole. He's more like, he's mile wide. Don't put on a cow, mate. I that's one of the things I did realise is, yeah, he's still going to be the comic relief for the most part, but it felt, I don't say reined in, but I guess the Bad Batch arc from season 7 was already pre-written. So they could have gone in and rewritten them and changed them, but it was already there to build upon. So this felt like maybe they'd taken some of that on board, or maybe that Wrecker wasn't quite where they wanted it to be. So they toned him down. It's only the first episode, though. But
right.
Yeah, it felt he felt more part of the team and less just like a random idiot just
right.
smashing things up, basically.
A random idiot. No, I think everyone was really well developed quite quickly. Yes. Not annoying. And yes, they are stereotypical. That's kind of the point. And it is meant to be, you know, watered down a little bit. It is meant to be simple so a kid can just instantly get it, right?
Yeah.
Should the really smart brainy one, Tech, have glasses? I don't know. It is a bit of a stereotype.
That is, isn't it?
It is a little bit. And that's something that even my missus said. She was like, oh, that's typical, isn't it? But even he actually, because I think I'm in a minority where in the Clone Wars, I found Tech a little bit annoying. And I don't
I didn't
know
mind
why.
Tech.
He was all right. But in this, I was like, nah, he's the boy. You know, he's the guy in this.
Let's not forget Echo as well. Echo's now part of the Bad Batch. And for a lot of it, we are led to believe he is the fifth clone here. But that's
it. Weren't that good? Wasn't that clever how they did that?
Didn't even think about it. When they said, oh, there's five of them, I was like, oh, there they are, those five, including Echo, who, of course, was a rig. And then he got, on Skako Minor, got just mutilated almost. And then when the reveal came later on, I was like, oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, we kind of saw it come. We'll get into it, but I thought that was well handled, and I was engaged enough to not even think about it, dude. But
spot on, mate.
Yeah, the characterizations are done well, even though we know about the clones force. You know, they for those who the uninitiated, they'll get it immediately what they're all about. And seeing all the sixes, it was great. Hearing Depa Balaba's screams was quite harrowing because she was getting killed. I was like, they really went all in on that. And then when they go to Kamino, my hometown, they've got the body of a Jedi being taken away and a lightsaber just falls in the hand. I was like, damn, little moments like that are quite
dark. Do you know what, though? You're spot on, man. You are spot on. And it reminds me of, I think I've mentioned this in the show before, it reminds me of the Dark Crystal, like the Jim Henson company.
Yeah, you said, yeah.
You know, Jim Henson always used to say that it's important for kids to be like somewhat scared to know what is bad and then therefore to know what is good. And there's nothing wrong with just including that in a child's story, really.
Yeah. You don't see anything per se, but it's what your brain makes
it's how
you
it
see.
Is. It's how it is. It's setting the story, it's setting the scenes. I thought that was very, very well handled. And once again, it's showing the viewer that, hang on, this isn't right. This isn't right. All of these clones, these were all goodies, you know, growing up watching Clone Wars. But now that's it. They've changed. They're part of the Empire. And it's just emphasis on that. And the fact that, that's why it's so important that we have the Bad Batch, these guys who don't have those chips in their head. To follow Order 66, or it doesn't work in their brain. It's important to see that these guys are looking at this and going, hang on, this ain't right. Everyone's going along with this, but this is weird, right? This is weird, apart from Sniperhead, which was very obvious, very on the nose, but I don't mind it. I'd rather it be like that than just out of the blue.
Yeah.
You know? So
they got it out of the way quickly, didn't they?
They did, yeah. I'm glad because that was actually something that leaked before the show, wasn't it? For an action figure, I believe.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they basically said he defects.
I'm a lot happier about that because I was kind of thinking, it's going to be like episode 3 or 4, maybe 5, And then he betrayed. No, just get it out of the way. Pretty sharpish. We now know Sniperhead is the almost maybe the villain of the show, possibly.
Alongside Tarkin, I think well, he's going to be, because we saw him being, you know, in the medical bay, being worked on, being indoctrinated with the Empire's propaganda straight into his brain. And he cut at the end, a brilliant shot of him, of the doors open to him there with his sniper rifle on his shoulder. Like, and that's when we know, like, right, this guy isn't one of the gang anymore. He's been turned to the Empire. And they do a good job of showing him how good he is as well. I wish I was as good on Battlefront 2 as he is at sniping. Now, he was taking fools out, but I think he's going to be the bad guy going forward. What remains to be seen is he going to stay with the Empire, or are we going to get a switcheroo at some point? I hope we don't, but him and Tarkin could be a good little teammate.
Yeah, definitely. It's like we've already said, it was kind of obvious, but I dig it. Yeah. He is a baddie, isn't he? There's just no two ways about it. And I think that was probably written in, in mind when he was written in Clone Wars season 7, because even in season 7, he is kind of like the mysterious, like, kind of doesn't talk a lot, kind of a mug. And you're like, oh, shut up, Sniperhead. Shut up. Go have a cup of tea.
Have a cup of tea and calm down, mate. So that was that opening scene was great. So Hunter pretends that Caleb Doom died. And then the whole episode. Also, they talk about Kenobi versus Grievous, which I love those tie-ins to the films as well. But basically, Hunter lying about Caleb Doom's fate is what the whole episode is built on, because Crosshair is immediately wary, and that's what leads us to the final confrontation episode. The whole episode is just Crosshair jabbing at Hunter. Why did you let him go? Mm. He files a report, Crosshair, to say that, no, in fact, you know, our sergeant didn't follow orders and he let one of the Jedi go. The whole episode is built on those two. So I'm guessing that throughout the season, or even the series, it is going to kind of be coming towards a final confrontation between Hunter and Crosshair, Rambo and Sniperhead. That's where I think it's going.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the Bad Batch, they're going to be trying to lay low. They're trying to make friends. And that's kind of, they pretty much say that at the end of the episode, don't they?
Yeah.
And of course, they got little baby Omega with them.
Well, that's it, mate. What do you think about that?
I thought she was great. I was a bit worried going into this, thinking, oh, she could be a bit annoying.
Well, I was just worried it was going to be like a Baby Yoda thing again, where, you know, they pick up a gifted child and, you know, they got to protect them. Like, we've seen that in the Mando, so yeah. it doesn't look like it's going to be the case necessarily here.
She's a clone. She is the fifth Bad Batch, like you mentioned earlier. And that makes a lot of sense. In a lot of ways, she's kind of replaced Sniperhead. And... Bye-bye, Sniperhead.
See you later, Snipes.
We've got little baby Omega. I thought she was great. And I'm looking forward to seeing where this is going. There is a kind of echo of The Mandalorian. There is a similar theme there where you kind of have Hunter as a father figure, or really the whole group as kind of like a family unit. And, of course, you have Omega there. But I think that could lead to some very interesting stories. It's like you said, it's not just a carpet, a copy of Mandalorian, and that's important. It can't be that. But it could be similar. It could hit some similar beats. I'm looking forward to it, man. She's a clone. And she belongs in the Bad Batch. She is a mutated clone. So
she's one of the gang, isn't she, mate? One of the gang, and it's Michelle Ang who voices her. The great Michelle Ang voices Omega. So they've still got the Kiwi in there, which I'm glad. Obviously, they're never going to not do that, but it's great. And they kind of hinted at her power somewhat, that she can foresee things potentially, because she's even saying to Crosshair, I've seen what you're going to do. Don't do it. But if you do, you know, I get it. So I'm guessing, did she have like the power of foresight, or was it like an algorithm in her head where she can predict things?
That's a really funny thing to pick up. Yeah, you're right. I haven't thought a lot about that. I'm leaning more toward. That's a great point, Matty Boy. I'm leaning. It can't be the Force. That would be ridiculous.
That would be odd. But she's obviously got
she's
something.
A clone.
Yeah, because she's one of the bad. What, she's one of the bad batch. She's one of the defects, if you will. So she's got to have something.
Well, one of the Kamino guys was working with her, right? So she has maybe a bit more of a fundamental understanding of kind of like the genetic makeup of the clone. So maybe she gets that. And I think
she was a medical assistant. She was
right,
called.
Right. So maybe
with
she
a curious mind.
That. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe it could be just as simple as, yeah, she went on the old clone database Wikipedia page and saw just Googled Sniperhead.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, 40% moron.
Yeah, naughty. A bit naughty.
Naughty. loves a toothpick.
Yeah, he does love a toothpick, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's not Cad Bane, though. Come on, mate.
No one is Cad Bane. Come on, I love being back on Kamino. That's one of my favourite Star Wars planets, just because, like I said, it's not a desert. There's no trees on it. I love the clinical kind of sci-fi world to it. We got to see Lama Su again, who the Prime Minister. Her and Tarkin were arguing as to whether the clones were efficient, and Tarkin's like, listen, it's cheaper to get people to sign up, and they can probably do just as good a job.
Yeah, I loved that. I love that. And actually, because we've been talking a lot about that, and it's like, oh, it's just that simple.
Yep.
Great. I love it. I'm here for it. And that makes sense. Of course it'd be cheaper.
Yeah.
Of course it'd be cheaper.
Little bits where he says, like, and then Lama Su is like, yeah, we've got a contract, so see you later. And he's like, no, that contract was with the Republic. That doesn't exist anymore. Therefore, we've got to renegotiate our deal. Just a little line. It's all he said.
Brilliant.
You know, the Republic doesn't exist. And that's all we need to know as to why the clones don't have the, you know, quote unquote contract.
Oh,
one
goodness.
Line, great.
It's that, do you know what? That is superb. That is just superb. It's great world building. It fills in a lot of details, and it's keeping it simple. It's keeping it simple, stupid. Kiss. It's, I love it. I really, really like it. And it just makes so much sense. Of course. Yep. And I really do think in this show, we will see maybe the clones getting phased out. Because right now, they're all for it, right? We see all the clones cheering when Palps is like,
I love that bit. And they love it, don't they?
Yeah, they're loving it. They're all having a rave up. They're all like, they're all dancing to Darude Sandstorm. That's it. Darude Sandstorm meets Jewel of the Fates. Imagine that. That'd be great.
That would be filth, mate.
Come on.
Yeah,
one of you
loving that,
make
mate.
That.
Do it.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I'm really impressed by this episode. A lot of world building. The characters are great. The animation's fantastic. Loved going back to Kamino. Like you said, it's clean. It's basically 2002 Cloud City. Who doesn't love that?
Exactly, mate. It's sterile. It's lovely. Very, very, you know, very healthy looking place. I guess there were three other kind of major set pieces. There was the live test on the clones to see their capability when Tarkin's get live rounds. When they go to the Onderon sector and meet Saw Gerrera, and then obviously the final battle in the warehouse when they go back to, they get out of prison, they save Omega, and then there's that battle in the warehouse when Crosshair is the bad guy. So what do you reckon about them? Any of those a bit naff, or were you happy with all of those?
Happy with that, mate. I thought the test was fantastic. I thought the test was really cool. Again, is it a bit over the top? Yes. It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And it can't be super realistic Mandalorian. It's not that. And actually, I think this show stays true to its Clone Wars roots. That's probably just stating something that's pretty obvious, but... it does a very good job. I'm not watching this show and thinking, oh, this is so different to Clone Wars, but I'm also watching and I'm thinking the personality of this show is so different that it does actually feel not necessarily like Clone Wars Season 8. It does feel just like a continuation of the story, and the story has just done a U-turn. It's going off on a completely different branch. And I think that's exactly what Dave Filoni and everyone at the animation department and Lucasfilm are trying to do here.
Yeah, it did have like a darker, a gloomier feel to it. Like, it did feel like the aftermath, like we were just in the immediate vicinity of what's just happened. You know, the Jedi gone. Nobody quite knows what's going on. The Empire's rising. There was that confusion that in the episode, I think they got that well across well, and visually they did as well. The Saw Gerrera thing, you know, fine. You know, it's all right. Got to see Saw again. We know he's coming back. I mean, basically, it was just Tarkin's way of testing them, whether they would basically murder a village full of innocent children and freedom fighters, basically.
Yeah.
So I get why it's there. The live round battle, I thought that was really good. I thought it was great. Good to see Wrecker get shot again. Just shows that, you know, he's not infallible. The prison scene, fine. It's proper. That's like pure Star Wars. Very kind of Mandalorian feel, like, how are we going to get out of this? And then, yeah, the warehouse battle was, again, some great shots in that. There's so many great shots in this. Like, just like one shot where the camera just looms on characters facing each other or looking at each other. And I really, really liked that.
So, the shootout was amazing, wasn't it?
That was a proper shooter.
And I kind of like that. I kind of like that Dave Filoni, especially, you know, we've been talking Mandalorian this week, with the Jedi, chapter 13 of The Mandalorian. Yep. You know, it is kind of bringing cowboys back. Like, that TV show, almost on its own, is bringing that cowboy culture, that Western culture, back into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And now we're having the same thing again on a kid show. I think that's very, that's really cool. That's really cool that kids are almost going to be shown this so much. It's going to be a lot more normal to see just a shootout that's not just like crazy guns everywhere, bah, 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 explosions. Yeah. No. This is a bit more chill and take a bit more time, a bit more focus on the hands by the triggers. And I think that's pretty cool, man.
Yep. Yeah, I can't argue with that, dude. So yeah, the warehouse was seen at the end. It was great. We know that they're plotting a course for J-19 to look for their friend, whoever that may be. It may have been Saw Gerrera, I don't know. But the bit at the end I thought was really, really nice when it was really Hunter, but they kind of, they sit Omega down in the pilot seat and they're like, lovely, you know, check this out. You know, you're going to want to sit down and watch this. And they go to hyperspace and you see the hyperspace in her eyes, and it's really lovely scene. A really good scene from these kind of like battle-hardened, gruff geezers. You know, they're big softies, really.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Exactly. It's lovely to see him. Once again, it's all about that family unit. It's all about that. And we know Dave Filoni is a huge believer in that. And we know that really is the core of Star Wars. You know, this story is about family. And we're seeing that just so much in The Bad Batch already. And this is the first episode. Man, I'm here for this. What would you give the episode out of 10, mate, boy? What do you reckon? Is it too early to say, or?
I'm going to say I would give it a very solid, I want to say 8 out of 10. I was going to say 7.5, but that feels too low. I'm going to go 8 out of 10.
Yeah, 8 out of 10. I would say with the context of everything, no, taking into consideration this is a kid's show, blah, 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 I'd agree with you, 8 out of 10. Great start. Yep. Great start to the series, bro.
Can't really go wrong with that. And we also get a food fight as well, which actually was quite funny. So
I mean, that's it. We need food fights in all of Star Wars now. Every episode, every film, we need a food fight. Come on.
We need it. So my last question for you, though, mate, then, is you've seen the series, episode one now. We've had our discussions, our roundtables, and our thoughts and speculation, anticipation. Has this helped with your excitement for the show at all? Are you now thinking, you know, I'm quite looking forward to the next episode, which is in a few days' time? Or are you still just like, yeah, it's there and I'll watch it?
I mean, you know what, Matty Boy? I do think this episode is so good that it's so good that it's that it's probably the best first episode of a Star Wars animated show ever. I'm happy to say that. Better than the first episode of Clone Wars, better than the first episode of Rebels. And I loved Rebels. And in my opinion, it's better than the Resistance debut episode. So, Matty Boy, I'm really excited for Friday. I'm really excited. And I think this has actually upped my excitement for it. I'm happy it's here. I'm really happy it's here. What about you, mate?
Yeah, no, same. Exactly, same. This is a solid episode. It really has got me looking forward to what we might be getting next. And now that we're free from what happened in this episode, the clones are out there, the clone force, they've got to survive and the Empire's after them. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be pretty fast paced going forward. The episodes are shorter going forward. So, yep, I can't really argue that, mate. So I'm excited. We'd love to hear what you all think out there. Did you like this episode? Did it bore you? Did it thrill you? Did it meet expectations, or did it disappoint you? But I think we'd both like to hear what everyone says, mate.
Oh, yes. Send us in your messages. Let us know what you think. Comment on Instagram. Send us an email. The lot. It's going to be great.
Yep. So let us know what you think. We'll be back again for another recap for the next episode of The Bad Batch. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Until next time, from me, see ya. And from Luke.
May the Force be with you always.